Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. One of the things that I marvel at as a parent is the miracles of vaccinations. How many of you as a kid had chicken pox? Do you guys remember having chicken pox? All right. I remember I was about 5 years old in kindergarten when myself and a lot of my classmates had chicken pox. Well, I think we all got it at a birthday party. We was just at the beginning, and I don't think it was really, sometimes they had chicken pox parties. That wasn't what this birthday party was, but I remember getting chicken pox, and I missed my kindergarten graduation because I had chicken pox. But it was something that I missed an event in my life, and I felt bad because my sister, she's 3 years younger than me, she was exposed to my chicken pox and my friend's chicken pox, and her chicken pox was like 5 times worse than what I had. And I remember as a kid just coming down with chicken pox and being isolated once I knew that I had this disease. Today in our scripture lesson, we hear of some people, men and women, who had a much worse disease than chicken pox. You know what they had. They were the 10 lepers. That's right. We don't have to experience leprosy at all in today's world because it's another thing that has been defeated by medicine. But leprosy was a very serious disease. It was any spot, any rash on the body. And if it didn't heal, if it didn't get better, it would spread through the body, and leprosy really affects the your feet and your hands, making it crippled, and it's a frightful disease. In Jesus' day, it was a disease that you didn't throw a party and come together, but it was a disease where people had to leave their families, their homes, their communities, everything that they knew. And so our gospel lesson from the Gospel of Luke has this group of 10 lepers. They all have a need. They need to be healed. And they hear that Jesus is coming by. I don't know how they knew it was Jesus, but they were close enough that they thought, if we can just shout really loud, "Lord, have mercy," maybe, just maybe, he'll heal us. And Jesus saw them, and he saw their need. And he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Why should they go to the priests? It was the priests who said, "You can no longer live in this community." If they showed themselves to their priests, then they could be welcomed back if they were healed into their homes, into their families, into their synagogues, back to where they belonged. But it's interesting that when you see, sometimes Jesus will say, "Be healed," all right? And they're immediately healed. What does Jesus say? Does he say, "Be healed," or does he say, "Go, show yourselves to the priests"? I can imagine the excitement bubbling up in those lepers, but they looked and nothing was being done, nothing was changed. But I can imagine taking one step, two steps, and three steps, and four steps. And as they went, they were cleansed. You know, this is one of those miracles where those lepers, they could have just stayed there and thought, "There's no way that Jesus can help me. There's no way that Jesus can do something to me. I want healing right here and right now." Have you ever said that to God? Have you found yourself in a situation where you don't have anywhere to turn, you don't have any options, and you cry out to God, "God, have mercy." And then Jesus tells you to go do something else. Or you don't get an immediate answer to prayer, and you wonder, "All right, God, what are you doing?" But there's something about these lepers and the command that Jesus gave that they heard his voice, and they went. And while they went, they were cleansed. You maybe have heard it said that faith moves mountains. But I believe, I like the addition to that, faith moves mountains when our faith moves us. That faith moves us into action. Faith moves us into responding of the great work that God has done in us. We don't move mountains, but God moves in us. And so we can pray, but sometimes more powerful than a prayer is saying, Ethel, do you need a ride? Right? Or I know that you have a need. Can I bring you something, a card, a phone call? Something tangible, and when we're moved, not just to pray, but to act, hearts are changed, lives are changed, faith grows, and mountains are moved. So tonight, on this night of Thanksgiving, what mountains are in your life? What mountains are you facing right now that you don't know where to turn or where to start? A great place to start is in God's word. A great place to start is on your knees, crying out to God, God, have mercy. And sometimes God will just like that, heal you, answer your prayer, make a difference. But sometimes God says, I've got you to go through something else. I need you to get up and take steps and walk and act in faith. And as you are living, as you are being faithful, you will be healed and cleansed, and your prayer will be answered. Well, the 10 ran into town, and they were healed. Do you remember how many came back to Jesus? One. And not just one of the Jews, but he was a Samaritan. Ooh, those Samaritans. Almost as bad as somebody that cheers for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Ooh, all right. I'm sorry, you're a Steelers fan. Okay. And so this man came back and fell at Jesus' feet. All these lepers, they appear to be alike on the outside. They all had leprosy. They all were outcasts from society. They were all determined to do something about it. They all called out to Jesus because they believed that Jesus could help them. They appealed to him. They obeyed his word, and all of them were healed. But what's the difference between the 9 and the 1? Not anything on the outside, but what was on the inside. On the outside, they looked identical. Yet what a difference was in that one Samaritan that returned to Jesus. One returned. 9 went on. One fell down at Jesus and said, thank you. 9 did not. One man came and received forgiveness, which is better than the 9 did not hear those words, your faith has made you well. I think this one man that returned to Jesus, he didn't just get one miracle, but 2 miracles. He was healed, and he was forgiven. He was restored, not only physically, but spiritually. And so to kind of try to wrap up tonight, I want to give you 2 takeaways and share a story. All right, 2 takeaways that I hope you kind of come away with this Thanksgiving night is to be able to say that gratitude, being thankful, is one of the highest duties that we can have as a believer. It's one of those virtues that if you look about what it means to be a follower of God, it's to be thankful, to be grateful, to be content with what we have. I believe that out of our gratitude, the fountain from which all other blessings flow. To be thankful because God is the one who has made us and given us all that we have. I think about the end of the first petition or the first article of the Apostles' Creed. It is my duty to thank and pray, serve and obey. What's the first duty? To thank God and praise him. The other thing is that I believe that ingratitude is a leprosy of the soul. It deforms us, it affects us, it deteriorates our innards if we aren't thankful, if we don't express gratitude. I was reading in the cultural translator today that there was a short blurb that talked about anxiety that teenagers feel. Teenagers today, for whatever reason, have the highest levels of anxiety in many generations. And they said one of the best antidotes of depression and anxiety is, guess what? Being thankful. Instead of thinking about what you don't have, to be grateful for what you do have. Do you think that might apply to us adults as well? I think so. All right. So, more question. All right. So, two things. Just be grateful, right? And finally, a story. There's a story that Billy Graham told back when he was giving his crusades about a police officer back in England. And as this police officer, she was going on her rounds, she found and heard a little boy whimpering, crying. She went up to the little boy and said, are you okay? And the little boy says, I'm lost. I don't know where my home is. And so the policewoman started listing off streets of all the streets and all the places in that village. And that little boy just, he was so overwhelmed, he couldn't know the way home. Then she started to list some landmarks, and even he couldn't begin to process how to get home from them. And then the policewoman thought, I know. She saw, standing high above all the buildings of the village, the church steeple. And what was at the top of the church steeple? A white cross. And so she asked the little boy, if I take you to the church, can you find your way home? And the boy said, yes, just take me to the cross, and I can find my way home. For us as Christians, I think this is so true for us. As much as we might want all the things of this world, what's the one way for us to find our way home? To go to the cross. Go to where Jesus died for you. Go to the place where he has redeemed you, where he makes it possible for God to forgive you all your sins through his death on the cross, his time in that tomb, his glorious resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. And we know that one day, Jesus will return to take us back to live with him in heaven. But until that day, I think Jesus says, be thankful. You are mine. I have redeemed you. I have conquered the world. And in Christ, you are victors too. May we together go to the cross, because when we can find the cross, we know we will make our way home. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, guide us in this world where there are so many things that overwhelm us, that distract us, that pull us away from an attitude of gratitude. I pray, Lord, that you, in the season of Thanksgiving, tonight and tomorrow and this weekend as we gather with family and friends, to help us to pause and to give you thanks for all that we have received, but also, Lord, to give you thanks for who you are, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us and redeem us. And no matter what we have or what we don't have, salvation in Christ is the greatest gift of all. Lord, may we be thankful every day of our lives for Christ. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said.